Disclaimer, I am a counseling student, I am not a mental health professional, and I cannot give or offer mental health services. Hey everyone, welcome to Good You. My name is Samantha, and today we'll be talking about how to spot red flags in therapy. So before we begin, it has been brought to my attention that I forgot to give a brief introduction of myself in the first episode. So if you want to hear that, you can stick around, and if not, you can skip forward to today's episode. So my name is Samantha Simo. I am currently in school for clinical mental health counseling, and I received my bachelor's in business management back in 2018. And after I got my degree, I had spent years in a line of work that I realized just wasn't for me. So if you're currently going through that, you can understand how stressful that is and how you feel like you just aren't going to find what your calling is. For me, in my experience, I realized I didn't have the courage or the knowledge of how to go about doing what I wanted to do. I always was interested in mental health. It was something that fascinated me and still fascinates me. It's something I'm constantly curious about. And I think that if you have something like that in your life, you shouldn't be scared to at least look into it, at least see what it would take to get to where that could be your passion and your line of work. And for me, that's where I started. I started with lots of research, what it would take for me to go back to school, how long to go back to school, and how I would pay for it. And luckily, in my program, I'm able to work for the school in order to pay my tuition as a graduate assistant. So that's really lucky for me, and I know that that's not an option for everyone. My advice would be to look around to programs near you to see if there are any places like that that offer that for graduate students. But yeah, so now I'm in my third semester of my counseling program, and I love every second of it. It is more than I could have expected. I thought going back to school would be kind of scary and overwhelming. And sometimes it is overwhelming. I mean, that's just how school is. But now I get so excited by the end of every semester because I realize how much I learned, the experience I got from that class, and just being along with my classmates and experiencing it together and knowing that we're going to be colleagues one day really just makes every second worth it. And it's so awesome. So we'll learn more about me throughout the podcast. I really want this to be an open podcast where I can share some of my experiences with everyone, you know, depending on what subject we're talking about. If I have anything that I can contribute in any way, I will. And so for now, we'll just dive into today's episode, which we will be talking about how to spot the red flags in therapy. And I'm really excited for this one because last episode we talked about how to find a therapist. So now that we know how to, we want to know how to tell if it's working out, if there's anything that you should be concerned about, how to spot that concern, and if you do realize that there are red flags, how to go about either bringing that up with the therapist or ending the therapeutic relationship with that therapist is important for you to know. I hope you enjoy today's podcast, and let's get started. Okay, so today's episode, how it's going to work. So I posted to a Reddit forum called Talk Therapy, and I asked people to share their experiences on if they had any red flags in therapy that they noticed and what were they. And I wanted to use real experiences because sometimes it's so easy to say, oh, you shouldn't have a therapist that offers you advice. You shouldn't have a therapist that's judgmental. Like, it's easy to say those things, but when you're in the moment, and you're a client and you're up against a professional, because I don't know what it is, but everyone kind of thinks that therapists are all knowing, and they're not. They're just humans that make mistakes. So by doing it this way, we can break down the experiences of the people that posted, and we can talk about the red flags that they experienced so that you can get a good idea next time you're there in the situation and you say to yourself, was that a red flag that I just saw? Or is that something that shouldn't have happened? This way, you'll be able to know for sure, or at least have a better idea. And you can bring it up to your therapist if you feel comfortable and say, hey, this happened, it made me uncomfortable, or this happened, and I don't think that this is supposed to be happening. You know, so I want to give you the knowledge and educate so that you have the power to advocate for yourself as a client. So starting with our first story, someone posted, we were doing teletherapy only at the height of the pandemic, and she appeared to be texting during sessions. I let it go since it wasn't the whole session, maybe a few seconds here, a few seconds there, and she remembered literally everything I said. She had also been really helpful and responded to my messages when I was in crisis on weekends. I gave her a pass and told her I'd only see her in person. In person, she made a couple of comments that gave me pause. She made them sort of quickly, under her breath. We're still on this? Regarding a long-term issue I had. I talked about my fear of flying, and she made a comment saying, you're probably on the tarmac, they close the doors, and you're like, no, referencing my inability to exit the plane at that point. I felt like it was damaging to me. She apologized almost immediately, but it was obnoxious. Straw that broke the camel's back was recently. She became silent for 90% of sessions. It was literally me talking to a wall. I told her how I was feeling, and she immediately got defensive, throwing anything she could at the wall, figuratively, hoping something would stick. I stuck with her so long because I developed an attachment, and there were way more helpful than unhelpful moments. But she lost my confidence. Taking a step back and evaluating, I realized I felt truly disrespected, and no matter how helpful she may have been, I could not tolerate paying for sessions that I would even occasionally feel disrespected at. Okay, so let's break this one down. So we're going to start with teletherapy. So teletherapy is new. It's basically like Zoom therapy, or, you know, over the computer virtual therapy. This started after the pandemic. There wasn't any teletherapy before because, well, there really wasn't a need. We realize now that it is actually really helpful, especially for clients who are uncomfortable coming into therapy. And it's given more power to clients to feel like they can be in their own environment talking about situations that they feel uncomfortable with already, that they feel vulnerable in. Now it kind of gives them some power to feel like they have more control of the situation by being in their own environment. But just because we're virtual doesn't mean that that therapist shouldn't be giving you their full and undivided attention. You're paying for that hour or so to be with them, so they should be present with you. And the problem with a therapist not being present with you in therapy is that, well, think about when you try to talk with your friends and they're texting and you're trying to tell them a story. You just feel like, one, they're not listening, and two, you feel like you're not being understood and heard. So by the person who you're going to specifically for those reasons to be texting or just not paying attention or giving you their full undivided attention, it could make you feel like you're being a burden. It could make you feel like what you're talking about is boring, and that's not something that you should be experiencing in therapy with your therapist. If anything, sometimes a therapist, you know, if there's an emergency going on in their life where they have a family member in the hospital, they'll disclose that to you and say, hey, I'm going to have my phone on loud next to me in case so-and-so tries to contact me. And they let you know if that happens, but they should never be texting and not giving you your attention in the moment. So the client did a great thing by moving on and saying, okay, well, let's just try doing in person. That way, maybe she won't text right in front of my face, or she'll pay more attention in the session. So then she started to make comments to the client, like, we're still on this. And she made that really kind of, I would kind of say that's a little aggressive, the way she came off with her comment about being on the plane tarmac. Those are never something that a therapist should say. And you could tell the therapist felt that immediately, since she apologized right after for how obnoxious it sounded. But even just saying that we're still on this, that's, a client should be able to work through what they're working through, however long it takes them to. And if a therapist feels like this topic in someone's life is being talked about a lot and not moving past, then that needs to be addressed. And if they continue to come back to it, that means that's something that the client is still experiencing, and it shouldn't be bypassed because the therapist is annoyed with it. And you should never feel like your therapist is annoyed with you, or that you're burdening them or boring them. You shouldn't feel that way. So then the client moves on to talking about how she started to become silent during the sessions and just didn't say anything. So as therapist, you want to summarize with your client. You want to give open questions to your client. You want to help them unravel and untangle the knots that are in their mind to kind of help give a clearer vision for them. By staying silent, that's pointless because, I mean, as a client myself, I could just talk to the wall all day, but is that going to get me anywhere? Maybe. Maybe sometimes, but not in every situation. And also, again, like, you're paying to be there for a full hour. You're not paying to talk to someone who's just going to sit there saying nothing. So, yeah, those are some really good examples that person provided. And I feel very sorry for anyone who has to experience that because these are examples of why people don't want to go back. Especially if this was this person's first therapist, it makes it hard to say, well, maybe I should just move on to someone else and they won't be this way. I mean, it's hard to move on in the first place, let alone to go start over. So we'll talk about that too. Okay, so our next Redditor said, I once saw a therapist who was overenthusiastic about my career. At first, I really liked that she was so interested in what I did for a living / what I was studying in school. But quickly, I noticed that during my session, she would ask too many questions about my job. I'd be getting into some emotional topics, take a long pause, and she would take that moment to change the topic and ask questions about my career. It got to the point where it seemed like she was more interested in picking my brain about a job she wanted than actually doing her own job as a therapist. Which, fine, if you want to pick my brain, okay, but I'm paying you. So can we talk about what I want, please? Okay, so this is a really great comment because this allows me to talk to y'all about what transference and countertransference is. So transference is when a client kind of redirects feelings or emotions about one person in their life to an entirely separate individual. So for example, if a client is going to therapy and has a therapist that has some similar characteristics of their father or their mother, and instead of reacting to their therapist in a situation, they could be reacting the way they would to their mother or father. Because in our mind, let's say that we have some type of trauma behind our relationship with that parent. And if your therapist is giving any triggers to that, and represents that parent in their minds, then it becomes very difficult. And that should be brought up, if possible, if you recognize it. So countertransference is the reactions of the therapist to the client. So it's the exact opposite of transference. And from this story, this is a perfect example of countertransference. So this therapist is clearly very, very interested in this person's job and their schooling and keeps dismissing anything that the client wants to talk about to talk more about this person's job, which this is a really good example of a red flag and something that if you feel comfortable enough with this therapist, maybe you've been with them long enough, then you can bring up because the therapist is ignoring the client's needs in this situation. The client wants to talk about things that are going on in their life, events that happen to them. This is the whole point of going to therapy. And like the client says, they're paying for this session and every session. So they should be heard in what they want to talk about, what they need to talk about. Talking about their job every session for an hour isn't going to help them. And honestly, the therapist should be paying the client in that case because they're just getting information on a job that they want. It just doesn't make sense. So that's just a little bit about countertransference from a therapist. And that's a good way to spot those things. And honestly, it's good for you to know about transference as well, because if you do start feeling those feelings towards your therapist, it's important to be able to talk to them about. And you're not alone if that's ever happened to you. And it's not weird. It's not creepy. It's nothing like you should judge yourself over, because it happens to everyone, truly. especially people who don't have a lot of people in their lives that they feel open enough to talk to. And there's this first person that's willing and wanting to learn and listen. And now you're having emotions towards the therapist that you don't understand. And you can talk through them and walk through them with the therapist rather than just holding them in and hindering yourself from learning more about yourself in therapy. Okay, so we're going to talk about the next person who says, while it can be helpful for therapists to self-disclose, too much self-disclosing is a red flag for me. This is hard to quantify, but if what they share with you about their personal life hinders you from sharing something about you, that's a red flag that they aren't a good fit. Example would be if you are nervous about hurting their feelings based on something they previously shared. Another huge red flag for me is advice, but not just in the sense of trying things to cope slash manage your day, but like legit advice. I sought therapy in the midst of infertility and recurrent pregnancy loss for related depression and anxiety. After a few sessions, my therapist told me to just do IVF or adopt. Both of those are valid, but she didn't give me any space to process my journey. I felt very written off and stupid for being so sad about something I could easily fix, according to her advice. Okay, so self-disclosure. Let's talk about that for a second before we talk about this post. Self-disclosure in therapy is when a therapist shares bits of their stories with you. So this can help. This is a good tool to use in therapy, but it should be used as just that. It should be used as a tool. It shouldn't be overdone because you want to be able to relate with the client at times when you think it's a good timing to do so. So if a client has experienced being bullied in school or being neglected in their family, it wouldn't be harmful to say your experience to your client so your client feels validated and your client feels they aren't alone in that situation and that there are other people that are experiencing that. But when a therapist overdoes self-disclosure and overshares and talks about themselves too often, then they're taking up the session. They're taking it away from the client. They're taking away the client's ability to talk about themselves in the session. So that's why it should be used as a tool and used only specifically in certain circumstances so as to not take away from the client. So the next thing that she talks about in this post is that as therapists that offer advice. Okay, so therapists should not be offering advice. Just going to talk about that right now. You should not be getting advice from your therapist. Your therapist should be helping you come to your own conclusion. Sometimes, I mean, I go to therapy and I'm a human. I know clients do this because I can't, hopefully I'm not the only one, but I go and I say, what do I do? I don't know what to do in this situation. I'm at a loss. I feel like these are my options. You help me pick. And it takes that power away from myself. I am taking that power away from myself and giving it to the therapist. And that's not how it's supposed to be done. My therapist never responds to that. Instead, they kind of walk through each option with me so that I can make that decision for myself. And this person who posts gives great points around that, saying that she didn't give me any space to process my journey. And that's exactly what that is. By a therapist offering advice to their client, clients can't depend on their own voice. Instead, they're going to start depending on a therapist, which takes away complete autonomy from a client. And that's what therapists are supposed to be getting a client to come to, is to be able to be autonomous, to live a healthy and fruitful life so that they can make their own decisions, so that they can spot these places of crisis in their life and they can handle it and they can learn how to handle it and give them the tools in order to do so. But by them doing it for them, it doesn't help the client. So your therapist, that's a big red flag, should never be offering you advice. Just make sure to know that and note that. Okay, so the next post, I'm going to offer a little trigger warning talking about suicide. So this person posted and said, he used to tell me, shut up, and that's boring, when I tried to explain how I felt or hate about my life and me. Maybe he was just trying to stop a train of thought that would be counterproductive, and I know it would have been. But it made me scared to speak about certain things. Still, he was super helpful in other areas, and I was having strong transference towards him, so I kept going. But when I told him about my suicide attempt from 14 years ago, and he freaked, the relationship changed, I started feeling like a huge burden, and he made it clear he was tired of me. Our last session, he said I was going to do all the talking and just stared at me. I started talking and accidentally wandered into one of those topics he didn't want to hear about. He got mad. I swear he was about to scream at me, made this frustration gesture of rapidly looking to the ceiling while exhaling very loudly. He said goodbye by using a trigger of mine, which he knows about. I was dying inside and spent the following 2 days crying my eyes out. Come the day before the following session, he cancels. Following were 1 5-week holidays in this country, and I cried my eyes out again for a couple of days. After the holiday, I just couldn't bring myself to make another appointment, so I quit, and I still think about him sometimes. Okay, so this one really, 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 really upsets me. Let's break it down. So the person who posted talks about how the therapist used to tell them to shut up and say that's boring about situations they're talking about in their own life. So this is frustrating because obviously that's rude and disrespectful for a person to do to anyone, let alone your therapist to you. You should never minimize or trivialize what a person has been through. And it's really, really upsetting that the therapist is being so judgmental to their client. This is a huge red flag. This should never happen. If your therapist is telling you to shut up, I'm at a loss for words to how to respond to that because it's very upsetting. This post exactly is why I want to talk about personal experiences, because even as a student learning about ethical practices in counseling, you hear about counselors who practice unprofessionally. But when you hear about it from a personal experience, it seems unreal. So it's important that we talk about these things so clients know that there are therapists out here that will do this, and it's important that you feel confident enough in what you know that you learn in this podcast today that is wrong. And this is 1,000% without a doubt wrong. That shouldn't happen to you. And I'm so sorry if that's ever happened to you. That's awful. Then the poster goes on talking about how they brought up their suicide attempt from 14 years ago. And the therapist freaked out. They don't go into detail about how the therapist freaked out, but a therapist shouldn't freak out over anything that they're told anyway. They should remain very calm, or as calm as they can in any situation. We can talk about, you know, therapists are human beings and they make mistakes. And if that's the only mistake that this therapist made, even though it would be a bad one, because that is such an emotional, triggering and vulnerable thing to bring up in general for the client, the therapist can go back and reevaluate why that was not a good reaction for them. But clearly this therapist has already shown troubling responses in the past with this client. So by doing this, it's harmful for a client because they're not going to feel comfortable at all to bring those subjects up. And it's important to talk about what caused this event in the past. What triggered it? Do you still feel any of these in the present? It's important to go through, and for a therapist to feel like it's burdening them because, oh great, now I have to go through these things. That's not how it should be. It's the duty of the therapist to do that. That is their job, and they shouldn't make you feel like it's a burden for you to bring up. That is so irresponsible and unprofessional. Big red flag. Okay, and then the poster goes on talking about how the therapist got mad once he brought it up again. You shouldn't feel like you're being talked down to by a therapist or disrespected in any sort of way. You wouldn't want a stranger or anyone in your life, your friend, your family, to get mad at you for talking about something that is valuable to you, let alone the person who is supposed to advocate for you as a client. And I'm really proud of this person for leaving and not going back, even though it's hard to make that decision. And I just feel so bad. And you can hear it when the poster says that they still think about that therapist. And that makes total sense. I mean, that's very traumatic what that person went through. You're already very vulnerable. And that therapist took advantage of that person's vulnerability. So those are some big red flags to look for. If any of that's happening, I hope you recognize in that post that those are big red flags. Okay, so here's a poster. And they said, he would show up late often. It would be anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes to 40 minutes late. Every session, I felt like I wasted my time. He never asked about my family, friends, work, etc. What was a major red flag was when he would make inappropriate comments to me. He was white and I'm black, and when he was going to drink his coffee, he said, "I like my women how I like my coffee, black." I was so shocked that I awkwardly laughed it off. He would also talk a lot about himself. He would tell me how him and his wife were having problems, how he had sex with 3 women in 1 day. He would tell me about his kids and so on. Overall, It was a mess. Now I'm with a therapist who is actually helpful and has never made inappropriate comments to me. Okay, so let's break this one down. Your therapist sets a time for you for sessions, and that should be the time that they show up. This is obvious. You can't be late to a job for 40 minutes late, five to 10 minutes to 40 minutes late, and expect to have a job. They will, like, you will most likely get fired. I don't really know any job that's not going to fire someone for being that late every day or every session. So that's just unprofessional. I'm glad that this person recognized how major of a red flag this next sentence was. I like my women how I like my coffee black. That is, I'm like dumbfounded at this moment. This is inappropriate for anyone in the world to say to a female, I'm sorry. I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable with how disgusting that is to say that to someone, to another human being, to a woman. You are a therapist. You are a professional. You have a duty to your clients, and to say something like that is infuriating. Like, you are making the woman across from you feel so uncomfortable, and This happened to somebody in real life. This experience happened to someone. Let me gather myself for 2 seconds. Hang on. Okay. Now that I've gathered myself, as horrifying as that is, that has happened to somebody, and that someone actually had those words come out of their mouth without thinking before saying it, I am very happy and proud of this person for recognizing and finding another therapist that treats them with respect and values them as a human being and a client. That should never be said to anyone, and you can literally tell them to go F off. I am horrified. We're going to move on. And I'm so sorry to that person that happened to you. Okay, this next poster says, the short story. I felt like she objectified me on how I looked. I'm overweight. She also suspected me of not paying for sessions, something I did every time, as well as asking some questions repeatedly. I got enough of that and left. After a half year, though, should have left earlier. Important thing of that is that you left, because leaving is extremely hard. So be so proud of yourself for that, because you are your own advocate as well. You have to advocate for yourself as a client and recognize what you deserve as a client and what you don't deserve as a client. You don't deserve to be objectified. You don't deserve your body to be talked about at all, at all. No one should be making comments about the way you look, ever. Therapists, first off, are not doctors, okay? They have no rights commenting about your weight. So if that ever happens, that is a major red flag. The only time a therapist should be talking about someone's body issues or body is if a client is bringing up if they have maybe body dysmorphia or if they have eating disorders, and that therapist is an expert in that area. Other than that, a therapist shouldn't be bringing that up on their own. That's inappropriate and unprofessional and unethical and very disrespectful and rude. So those are some, I'm kind of heated from those. It's hard for me to hear that because, I mean, just as a human outside of being a student in counseling, those are hard to hear. Being a client myself, those are hard to hear. And of course, obviously, going into this profession, that's extremely hard to hear that any colleague or future colleague of mine would act like that or say things like that to their client. The number one thing to remember is that you should be respected, you should be valued, you should be uplifted, empowered, you should be advocated for in therapy. A therapist should never disrespect you. A therapist should never judge you. They should never give advice. They should watch how much they use self-disclosure. They shouldn't overshare. It's important to know these things and hear these things, as hard as it is to hear that these are actual experiences, because you want, as a client, to never confuse whether you're wrong or right in believing if a therapist is showing some red flags. Because it's easy to think of therapists as professionals, and they are. They're supposed to be professionals in their field, but they're also humans, and humans are fallible, and they should be owning up to those mistakes, and they should watch being defensive if it is brought to their attention. This field can be exhausting for therapists because, I mean, you're talking about emotions for hours every day. And that's why it's so important for therapists to engage in self-care and make sure that they are having themselves taken care of. And that's why a lot of therapists go to therapy and have their own therapists. So it's important for you to understand what you should expect and what you should watch out for. Those are definitely things to watch out for. Those are definitely things that you could possibly see and you want to be aware of, because you're going to question yourself. I mean, you're going to question whether or not you're wrong, or maybe you just misjudged the situation, or maybe they had a bad day. Okay, maybe they had a bad day. Then if you feel comfortable enough, bring it up to them and watch how they respond. Are they responding with understanding and wanting to make a conscious change and effort to change how they reacted or how they acted in a certain situation? Or are they getting extremely defensive and throwing things back at you? Just note those things in your mind. So before we move on, I just want to add, please, please, please do not let the stories today deter you from seeking counseling. That is not what the stories today were meant to be used for. I wanted to raise awareness to the fact that these things can happen and do happen to people. And it's very unfortunate. And I don't want the few bad eggs in this profession to deter anyone from seeking mental health help with a counselor that is reliable and ethical and responsible in their profession and their job. There's so many more benefits to therapy than anything. And I can speak for myself in this situation that I don't think I would be where I am mentally, physically, or where I am in my career path right now if it wasn't for therapy. So again, please just continue your search. Please keep your head held high. I know that that would be an awful situation to find yourself in. But it's going to be worth continuing the search because you're doing it for you. You're going to be so much happier when you find the right match. You're going to understand why it's so important to be seeking this counseling. So now we're going to talk about how to end a therapy relationship. We're going to kind of just segue right into this. So if you realize after reflecting on your therapy sessions that this therapist isn't right for you, you know, you made a conscious effort to think about why you want to end this relationship and you're still ready to do so, then let's start with the steps. So it depends how long you've been with the therapist, how you're going to handle this decision. If you just started therapy and maybe you've gone to a session or two and you realize this therapist just isn't for me, or I just don't feel this connection with this therapist, you can probably just send an email or a text with them, just letting them know like, hey, this isn't working out. And if you can, just sending a message saying, I've decided that I'd like to try a different approach with another therapist. I appreciate your time. And that's really all you need to do. Now, if you have a long-term relationship with a therapist, and let's say you're ending it because you just feel like you aren't seeing the progress that you want to see, it would be really helpful for you to talk about that with them if you feel comfortable enough. Because a lot of therapists, I know I just named some horror stories, but a lot of therapists definitely want to help. And they want to know, they want that constructive feedback. If they're a good therapist, they're going to want to know what they can do better for their next clients or their current clients and what didn't work. So it's good to know for them and it's good for you. It's a good healing process to go to say goodbye and to have that level of control in your life. If you have been seeing this therapist for long term and it ended on not good reasons, if you want it to end because there's been an ethical violation in the therapy, so if there's been a sexual advance or there's been a violation of your boundaries or a breach of confidentiality, if there's been anything like that that's happened, then it's important if you feel comfortable enough, because again, this is you, you're in control of your therapy. If you feel comfortable enough to report the misconduct to the licensing board or another therapist, maybe if you're in a clinic setting, because if they're doing it to one client, they're most likely doing it to another client, but it's not your responsibility to advocate for other clients. You really have to make sure you're advocating for yourself. If you feel uncomfortable doing that, it's okay. You can tell another therapist that will report for you. That way you feel more comfortable. And if you do feel comfortable reporting them, then that probably also is healing for you. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it can be more harmful. So just know, listen to yourself. Don't listen to everyone else saying report, 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 and you feel like that's going to be damaging or hurtful to your mental health. Focus on you, advocate for yourself. And if that is the case, by the way, you can terminate the relationship. If there's been an ethical violation, like the ones I listed, terminate the relationship via email or text. You don't have to do it in person. Do not subject yourself to a dangerous situation to be in where you're not safe. So when you do go with a therapist that you have trusted for a while and you have a good relationship with, be as honest as you can about why you're leaving. Like I said, they want to learn what they can do for their future clients, how maybe they can start to spot when a client is not moving to the next steps in therapy and work on how to start a new plan with their clients. I did read something that says to make sure you give a conscious goodbye. So as humans, we tend to say, okay, see you later, or, you know, feel uncomfortable with saying goodbye. And sometimes that leaves little room for closure in that relationship, especially if you've been with them for so long that you feel like I'm never going to see them again. And it's so uncomfortable, but just remember why you're doing it. I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it for my progress. I'm doing it to succeed in therapy and to really advocate for myself as a client. And I know this is what's best for me. And make sure to just get that conscious goodbye. And thank you for, you know, helping me to where I am now. It's really healing as a client to be able to say that. It's healing, it's empowering, and just try to if you think about it. So the next thing to consider is to have a plan. Are you going to go to another therapist after this? Have you already been looking for a new therapist? Have you already found a new therapist? You could also ask your current therapist for referrals because they know you. You know, they know what you need. They might have people that they know would work well for you. If you are leaving a therapist that caused any trauma, like any of the ones I read today, please avoid withdrawing from the therapy process. It's important to remember that you're there for you and that you are doing it for you. So it's important to find someone that will work with you, who values you as a client and wants to give you that power to become an autonomous human. So after leaving therapy, make sure you have that backup plan. And make sure you're doing your due diligence of searching for your next therapist. By the way, a huge red flag would be if a therapist is trying to force you to stay or gives you a hard time and wanting to leave. They shouldn't be doing that. A therapist should take your constructive, honest feedback and use it. You shouldn't feel like you're getting guilted into staying. They should be honoring our code of ethics. So make sure that you know that if they're acting in that type of way when leaving, that's a problem, and that honestly should give you even more push to leave. So hopefully this episode today helped people kind of see what can happen in therapy and what red flags to look for. It's hard to hear a lot of those stories because you don't want to believe that those things actually happen to people, but it's important for everyone to know so that when they're out and receiving therapy, they know that they're not alone in that situation and that they should not feel afraid to advocate for themselves and end that relationship if there are red flags like those. I hope y'all enjoyed today's podcast. I hope y'all liked the way that we got some real insight from real experiences. If you ever want to provide your own experiences in therapy to me, please feel free to DM me on Instagram at goodyou.therapy. I love to hear experiences. And I am not sure what we're talking about next week. I Haven't really planned it yet, but I'm excited for it nonetheless, and I think it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to try to make it maybe a little bit more lighthearted than today's, because today really upset me. Okay, so y'all have a great day, and thank you for listening. Today's music was written and produced by Tyler O'Brien. You can find him on Instagram at Dreamscape, DreamScape, and follow his band at Wastelander_band on Instagram.